Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2014, and we need a little more than $100,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2014. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We kind of think of ourselves as coming into the world with no responsibilities, kind of unencumbered with a blank slate. And maybe we look back that way on our childhood, the carefree days of childhood where there were no demands put upon us except for show up for dinner, bedtime, brush your teeth. Life was so simple when we were young. Some of us long for the simple days of youth. Others, I'm one of these, I don't so much pine for the days of youth, the freedom of youth, but I kind of look forward to getting older. I always have. I'm always looking forward to kind of the next decade in my life. Now, the closer I get to being genuinely old, the less I anxiously anticipate those things. Although, I think there's some upside to being an old man as well as being a young man. We're going to be talking about the vocations of the young and of the old and of everything in between. Pastor Bill Swirla joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He's co-host of the weekly radio talk show called The God Whispers, and he is author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Table of Duties to the Young and the Old and Everyone. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
Do our God-given vocations, do they change as we age?
That's a great question. I was listening to you talk about how you're looking forward to getting older. I'm trying to think, how old is he? I think you stop looking forward to getting older when you stop celebrating your birthday, which I think with most normal people is about 50. Yeah, there's nothing to celebrate after that, except retirement maybe. And you know, if you think about all the passages, all the changes of life, and all the things when you go from childhood to young adulthood to full blown adulthood, you know, and marriage and family, household, and then the kids are grown and retirement. You realize that vocation is a really dynamic process. It's always in flux. If you think of vocation simply as the exercise of your God-given gifts and abilities and service of neighbor, the neighbor is always a dynamic thing. You know, who God puts in your path, that's always changing. It's different being a parent of young children than parent of teenagers or of your offspring go off to college and then you become grandparents. So things are always in movement and change. So vocation is very dynamic. What is constant for the Christian is priesthood. You know, we are ever from our baptism on, we are priests to God in the priesthood of Christ Jesus. And so we are, in some fashion, offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God through the mercies, of Jesus Christ. So the infant has a priesthood. The infant has vocation. It's kind of, as you put it, it's pretty basic, but still a vocation. He or she has a place in the family, and you grow into these things, and you know. But it's always changing as you mature and age through life. Your priesthood takes on different components and different aspects.
So let's start with the young. That's kind of an undefined term when Luther takes it up. In the Small Catechism, he just speaks to the young. I think he's probably speaking to, you know, children who can understand what he's saying. But let's start even before that. You said that infants have a vocation. What is that vocation shaped like for the infant?
Mostly, you know, nursing and soiling diapers, I suppose. It's actually a vocation. If I would define what's the vocation of an infant, it is to be as the picture of faith before God, utterly receivable, givable to, trusting. You know that every need has to be taken care of by the God figure. You know, the parents, father and mother. And so, in a sense, the vocation of an infant, as Jesus held up the infants as pictures of the kingdom of heaven, they are to provide for us a little picture of what faith before God looks like. That's probably their first and foremost of their priesthood, is to be utterly dependent and givable to. They grow out of that rather quickly, though, but that's... We start out utterly helpless. Don't you find it kind of unusual that the foremost of creatures, the one uniquely made in the image of God, starts out so helpless? And as we're approaching Christmas, take on the mystery of the Word made flesh, who entered this world equally helpless. It kind of boggles the mind. But anyway, that's the vocation of an infant. When Luther takes up youth, by the way, this last section, youth, widows, and everybody else, it's kind of a catch-all, because up until this point, the table of duties was built around the three ordos of the temporal kingdom. You know, you have church and home and state. And now it's more age. It kind of shifts a little bit. So your leading question was a good one, because the emphasis on the table of duties shifts now, not so much to where you are in the with respect to the temporal orders, but where you are with respect to your chronology, your chronological age. And so 1 Peter 5 is cited. I think actually the younger may actually be the younger pastors. I don't have the actual text in front of me, but I think in its native context it's urging young pastors to be deferential to their older colleagues. But it works. It's one of these multiple service passages, urging the young to be submissive or subordinate to those who are older, and clothing themselves with humility. It's kind of it's a malady of youth to be kind of cocky and arrogant sometimes, especially when you go off to college and you learn a thing or two and you get an A and you think you're smart. And then you remember when you came back home, that first semester or first year. I mean, man, what a pain in the neck we were to our parents.
we knew
it all.
Yeah, it was a combination of a toxic combination of knowing everything and believing that I was immortal.
Immortality is. I think it has to do with the prefrontal cortex is not fully developed, until a little bit older, and so this is horrible. It's toxic, as you say, because you have recklessness combined with a rather inflated sense of one's own abilities, and that is very 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 bad. I repent of the sins of my young adulthood and the pain that I inflicted on my parents in all my brilliance. You know, it is why they call sophomore year, you know, a sophos moros, a wise fool. They know a little, but a little is dangerous. So, but a reminder to clothe for the youth to clothe themselves with humility. And this reminder that God does oppose the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He has a knack for knocking you off your high horse. Usually, it's junior or senior year that happens in or graduate school for that matter. But there's always some, you know, the minute you're sitting tall and proud, is about the time that there's a low hanging branch that's going to come and just knock you off your horse.
Yeah, well, for me, it was summer back from my freshman year. I thank God in His providence in order to keep me from killing myself by some act of stupidity. Saw to it that I broke my heel and was out of commission the entire summer. He kept me on crutches and also kept me from getting behind the wheel. And therefore, I stand before you alive today. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the vocation of the young and the elderly. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called The God Whisperer.
Comfort, comfort, ye my people, for unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com, AdCrucem.com.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of the young and the elderly and everyone in between as well. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners can leave a question or a comment at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Before we leave the young behind, there's kind of a principle that seems to be at work here when it comes to these kind of general vocations dictated by youth, and that is the overused word is, Bill, is relationship. Your vocation is kind of determined by your relationship to others. Are you younger? Are you older? In the case of the younger, they are, as you said before the break, to show respect and humility before those who are older. Talk about that.
Yeah, that reminds me a bit of the way Luther instructs the penitent in personal confession. There are two questions that one puts before oneself in self-examination. The first question is who are you? And that's less of an existential question than it is a look around you and see who you are in relation to the people around you. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, master, mistress, servant? You know, and then the second question is, then what have you done or not done in view of the commandments and the law of God in terms of these relationships? And so, you know, one never exists in isolation. Well, one's not self-defined, and vocation is always oriented toward the other. You know, we live in Christ by faith and in the neighbor by love, as Luther said in that 1520 writing of his on the freedom of the Christian. And so vocation is this business of doing God's goodness and his mercy for the neighbor in relationship. And so you figure out who you are by looking around you. And part of it is the table of duties indicates that age matters here. And part of the vocation of being young is to be humble before your elders, to be respectful of those who have a few more gray hairs and a few more years experience. And this isn't designed to trim your sails or to take the fun out of your life, but it's actually for your blessing, because I have a great privilege of working with a lot of young people, you know, people that are, you know, much younger than I am, and I admire their energy. I get a lot more energy than I do, and I admire the quickness of their brains. Their brains work faster than mine does, and they can remember stuff and everything, and that's great. But I also like the way I think too. And that is, I think once you have some experience, that's kind of where you move from I call it from data handling or information to knowledge to wisdom. The youth are very good with information, and they're very facile at getting information. They're picking up knowledge, which is kind of connecting all this information together. But the big picture, the thing where it kind of all sort of coalesces and makes sense, that takes a lot of years. I'm starting to sound old. I know this, but you know, I'm liking it. I forget a lot of stuff, but I don't need to remember as much because there's like a bigger pattern that I know. And it's fun to work together across generations that way, because you know, we can take advantage of their nimble minds, and they, if they are listening and are tuned in to what their parents and their grandparents and people that age have to offer, they will acquire a lot of wisdom, and this is invaluable.
Before we leave behind the youth, you mentioned this before, and I think it's very important. When the apostle talks to young Timothy, so to speak, he directly admonishes him to have a relationship with his congregation that is largely in view of how young he is and how old anyone else is. He even says, you know, treat younger men like brothers, younger women like sisters, older men like fathers, older women like mothers. He wants that, and he's not talking about other pastors. He's talking about the pastor with his people. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's a great observation and one that probably I hope that's emphasized at the seminary, that, you know, a lot of guys, if you went straight through, will graduate quite young and be entrusted with the responsibilities of an office that is normally kind of looked at as older, more experienced men doing. You couldn't be a rabbi before you're 30. But you know, we have pastors who are younger than 30, and there's every good at giving due respect to those who are older for no other reason than they're older, and I like that, to treat the older men and women as you would your parents. That doesn't diminish from the authority of the office. Because he reminds the people, or reminds Timothy, don't let anybody despise you on account of your age, too. You know, he's young for this position, but nonetheless, his office calls for the respect and honor that the apostolic office calls for. But nonetheless, that doesn't give him a right or a license to be disrespectful to elders, and it does him no good. Does them no good either.
What I discovered as a young pastor was that the best teachers I had were my elders in the congregation. I was that kind of cocky young pastor as well. Still am, but just older. I didn't want to hear a lot from older pastors, but the older men in the congregation, the older women in the congregation, were the best teachers I had, Bill.
Yeah, they are. You learn to listen, hopefully more than talk sometimes on these shut-in calls, especially when their mind is still good. sometimes, unfortunately, the wisdom's kind of been partially erased. But there's so much to be learned. I can think of a handful of really solid men and women that have been very patient with me over the years that I've been in my congregation. And in fact, I just buried one of my old saints a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned in the funeral sermon of just how appreciative I was and how much I learned from him. He was the chairman of the congregation when I became pastor. And you know, we knocked heads. I was arrogant. He was stubborn, and that makes for some good head banging. But we stuck with it, and we had some opportunity to reminisce in his last few weeks to talk about those things, and very fondly. But in many ways, he was my dad's age, and was very much kind of one of the congregational fathers for me.
One of the things you take up in your article when it comes to the elderly is the issue of loneliness. Talk about that. What makes for the loneliness of the elderly?
Oh, the older you get, the lonelier it gets sometimes, too. One of the recurring phrases you always hear from your older members, especially if they've crossed over into the late 80s or the early 90s, is that everybody they know is dead, or they've lost their minds, or they've lost contact with them, their nursing homes or whatever, but they become increasingly isolated. Very often the kids don't call so much, or they're busy with their lives, and you're kind of, you know, placed in the hands of caregivers or whatnot, and they don't get out much. You know, they lose the ability to drive, so even if they're living in their own home, like my mom does, they don't get out as much, and so they're reliant on people coming to see them or calling on the phone, and so life can be very isolated and lonely for people in their senior years. They're still priests to God. They have a priesthood, and the table of duties reminds the widows that there still is the priestly work of prayer that day and night she continues to pray and to ask God for help and puts her hope in God. You know, you think about like Simeon and Anna in the temple in Luke. You know, Simeon can't wait to die. he's waiting. And Anna is old. She's been widowed. She's been widowed much longer. She's only married for 7 years, and she's 84 years old, and she's hanging out in the temple just watching for the fulfillment of the promise, waiting for the redemption of Israel. So there's just a lot of solitary waiting for the old priests in Christ's priesthood. And I think it's a good reminder that they still have a priesthood. Especially of prayer. One of my older ladies she's remarkable in. She doesn't get out much. She's kind of frail, but she has beautiful handwriting and a wonderful collection of stationery and cards. And she's always writing notes to people. She goes down the prayer list. She hears of something, and I've been recipient of a bunch of her. And just these little notes of encouragement that she mails out in beautiful handwriting. And that's her vocation. I mean, she's doing her priesthood. She's encouraging the saints.
Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We'll take another break, and we come back 10 more minutes with him, talking about the vocation of the young and the elderly. He mentions there the loneliness of the older people. You know, that does raise a question of whether or not our vocations come with burdens. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Get in shape this fall with Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Look around you. Who is your neighbor?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the vocation of the young and the elderly and everybody in between. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called The God Whispers, author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Table of Duties to the Young, the Old, and Everyone. You'll find a link to The God Whispers at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, before the break, you were talking about the one of the aspects of, especially as we grow older and older and we live longer, one of the aspects of the vocation of the elderly is loneliness. Does that highlight the fact that every aspect of our lifelong vocation comes with a particular burden?
Absolutely. It is vocation is lived under the cross. There's our Lord. You walk the same path. When we talk about these things, I'm always brought back to that sentence at the end of Luke 2 after Mary and Joseph lost him for a moment in Jerusalem. And then he returned with them to Nazareth, and he was obedient to his parents. You know, the Lord of all, age 12 now, he's on the threshold of adolescence and young adulthood, is obedient to his parents. But every vocation, for a variety of reasons, the big three, the devil, the world, our flesh, the devil would not have the goodness and mercy of God done in the world, and so he's going to be a problem. And the world, in terms of the unbelieving world, is set against anything of God's goodness and mercy, so that's going to be an issue. And our own flesh, which we have to drag along, you know, the old Adam, who really doesn't want to cooperate with this program at all, hence the need for the law. We're always going. There's always going to be static noise, imperfection, sin, and suffering. And that's if you want the textbook on that, it's Ecclesiastes. It's life under the sun. If that's all you see, if that's all there is, it's pretty bleak, because then when you're done and you've forgotten everything that you've learned and you take your last breath and everything that you worked so hard for gets handed over to a fool. this is a great vanity, you know. It's a great and vexing thing. But there's more. And that's the beauty of it. That's this side. That's the way we perceive it from below. But just as the victory of Christ is dead Jesus on the cross when viewed from below, it is glorious when viewed from above. And all these things that God has accomplished from the least act of mercy or goodness done in the world is not lost. It's not forgotten. It all becomes incorporated into this wonderful heavenly city that God has built, and so it's not forgotten, it's not lost, and it's filled with the meaning of Christ, and so it's by no means just a passing thing that nobody will remember anymore. It will be remembered eternally. So we need to always keep that faith view from above. Too. Let God tell us how it actually is. And what he says, it's priesthood. It's priestly work. Even the person who can barely get out of her bed in the nursing home, who speaks a kindly word of blessing and hope, maybe even a prayer to the person who's taking care of them, that's priestly work.
And in that sense, I'm thinking about that person who has kind of returned to the original state in which we're born, to the helplessness. Is there could it be that their vocation in the end, maybe for some time at the end of their life, be like that infant, to be cared for, to receive?
To be given to. You know, I was hungry, you gave me something to drink, eat, I was thirsty, you gave me to drink, etc. That the Christ to serve is there in the least of these, and the least are the little ones, and the least are the old and frail ones too, and so that's actually a beautiful kind of summary of life in a sort of a bookend way, is that we enter this world with a vocation of dependence, and we in a sense leave this world, or we end it, our life ends in that same sort of dependence, and once again becoming as faith is before God, is trusting and receivable and givable to, and providing opportunity for others to do the works of God, the goodness and mercy of God. For, you know, somebody's got to receive. that's why the poor are always under God's watchful eye, because they too are images of faith. And so God in his wisdom doesn't distribute wealth evenly, and so. So there was a time in Israel when if you couldn't do anything else, begging was a vocation. You know, Lazarus at the gate of the rich man, he was doing his vocation. Unfortunately, the rich man was not doing his vocation, namely caring for the beggar at the end of his driveway. So
With only a minute here, Bill, there's the awkward in between time between the young and the elderly, where we're kind of on the sliding scale of young and old. What is the general vocation of priesthood there, with about a minute?
I like how the table of duties just simply ends besides that little verse, but with basically two words, love your neighbor, and prayer. Pray for everybody, kings, rulers, authorities, everybody. And what a great summary of priesthood, to talk to God concerning our neighbor, pray, to intercede, and also to serve the neighbor in the name of God, that is, to love with the love with which we have been loved. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? You know, I mean, we have whole books written on the Christian life and everything else. Two words, love and prayer, are the life of a priest in Christ's royal priesthood.
Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called The God Whispers, and author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled Table of Duties to the Young, the Old, and Everyone. Bill, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the 14th Amendment and same-sex marriage. Constitutional law professor Tad Armstrong will be our guest. We're also going to talk with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of religion. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, kind of going into December, the Christmas season, is called The Songs of Christmas. It's one of those arch books that deals with the – it's a singing season, isn't it? Not just singing carols and songs of the season, but even as the Bible retells the Christmas story, it retells it in song. It's almost a musical if you read the first two chapters of the book of Luke. Everybody ends up having a song to sing, and that's the essence of this great arch book, The Songs of Christmas, this set of arch books from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every single page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Songs of Christmas as a Christmas gift for someone you know, one of those young people. Give it to them so that they can carry out the vocation of receiving. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month called The Songs of Christmas. It's not as though God leaves us with nothing in this life, nothing to do. In fact, I think Pastor Schwerle put it very well. From the very beginning, we Christians are by baptism made priests. That priesthood takes on a different shape, a different character and tenor throughout our life, but it always remains the same. Priest, because we have been made holy by the Holy One, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilken. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2014, and we need a little more than $100,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2014.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.